If you'd like to read with us in the 17th chapter of Jeremiah, and you know, after hearing in the news about the school shooting in Pennsylvania of Amish children, I cannot comprehend the heart of a person to do something like that. The statements that he made, that he was angry with God and different things, and none of them made any sense for still what that he did. And yet in America, we think, oh, that's awful. But just in the last week or so, how many times have you heard of somebody being shot in a school situation? And in America, a few years ago, in any school you went into, there was Bibles laying around. Now I'm 61 years old, but I can remember every class that I went in, the teacher on the desk, there was a Bible laying there. And at the starting of every day, prayer was made. And the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag. And the Bible was read in every school, in every class as the day started. And then they thought that was unconstitutional. And they took the Ten Commandments out of our school to where the students couldn't see it. And we wonder where that we are benefiting by taking God out of everything when we see the condition in the hearts that men have. And you'll find in the Ten Commandments, very short, thou shalt not kill. And yet we thought that was awful for a child to grow up looking at something like that on the wall. But isn't it far better to instill in them that they have a higher power that they're going to have to give an account of, and that life is something that's precious, and it's not for you and I to take it. And to look at this, if maybe we would go back and teach these values, maybe we wouldn't be hearing the awful tragedies in our news today. But yet in America, in our government, in a little bit of everything that you want to listen to, they're talking about getting God less and less and less involved in our life. They would like to be able to do away with anything that would remind you of God. But you and I today, we need to be reminded more and more that we're coming face to face with a just God. And He's going to give us exactly what is in our heart reward. Why if our heart was not right with Him, when we stand before Him, we're going to have to give an account. Stand there, hear the judgment of God. The one that we refuse to recognize here in our life. The one we didn't want our government official to recognize. But if we come back to that principle, then I believe we would find that our nation would be far better off. The scandals in Washington, there was times back years ago that men that went to Washington, they may not be true Christian men, but they still had some morals about them. They had been raised and taught respect. Today, we see in just listening to the news that there's so many that's occupying high office in our government that has no morals. They don't even comprehend what it is that they're going to face when this life is over, as if that God does not matter what He said in His Word. It doesn't matter, as if it was just suggested and we don't have to pay any attention to it. But it's for sure you and I are going to give an account one day, no matter what we think here, no matter how that we think or praise here in this life, when we stand before God, God's going to judge us by our evil hearts. And if it's ever been a day that the heart and the mind of men and women is evil, it's this day and time in which we're living. How that a man's heart could be so evil that he could shoot one child right after another,
and not realize that was a precious life that he was taking, that he was going to have to give an account of, and that there ain't no more life, and to turn around and take his own life. He said no, but he left this world unprepared to meet that God that he had hatred for, to stand before and give an account.
And you and I today, we need to realize and we need to teach all that we meet that we will come face to face with a just and an honest God when this life is over. Alright, in Jeremiah the 17th chapter, the 9th verse, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Now, you'll find all kinds of people that think that they will be all right when they stand before God because they are not as wicked as that man that done what he did there in that school. But you know, I've found in my own life, I can remember talking to my dad about my grandfather that was so wicked. He killed a man and spent time in prison for it. I remember my father telling me about his dad, just how mean that he was, because he looked at people, if they made him mad over something, he said, they ought to die. I believe I'll kill him. And you and I today, how many of us have had thoughts in our mind or in our heart that was just that foul, because somebody angered us or something went wrong, instead of us showing forth love, getting out from one another, getting on our knees and praying and truly forgiving that person, we found that anger begin to boil on the inside, and our thoughts were how we could get even. I know that wasn't me, and I realized that the grandfather, that when I was growing up in here, he said, I thought how awful, but except for the grace of God, that same thing was in me, that heart was in me. You and I today, the heart of man is a wicked thing, left to his own devices. We will do far worse than we ever thought possible. The things that we were accomplished of wickedness, it will just shock our own conscience if we would stop and look at it. But man dismisses it as if it's something that we can forget about and never have to face. But we will have to face it. The Lord searches the heart. He knows what's in your heart. You've got nothing hid. That's why when I got right with the Lord and the devil put those thoughts in my mind, that still small voice began to whisper, Herbert, that's not the way that you handle it. Get out and pray. And you and I today, oh, when you hear the moms and the dads that lost the children saying, I forgive, pray for that family of the one that did it. You and I today, that is not something that's easy. That does not come easy to truly say from your heart, I forgive somebody when they've done you wrong. Why, I've been there. I've had things done that were wrong, things that were said about me that hurt so bad, and it took some true prayer. I went down on my knees and prayed for that person.
Oh, Help me to feel that love that can overcome what was done wrong. I come to the place where one day I woke up and I realized the anger was gone. The forgiveness was there. Even things that happened in my life that today I could not even tell you the details of it. Why God not only helped me to forgive, but He helped me to forgive you and I today. Without we can forgive, we will never forgive
the wrong that was done. And when we truly forgive, we get to the place where we can actually forget the real hard hurt that come with it. You and I, you know, people that does you wrong, people that shows hatred towards you, people of a vile, despicable heart that does things that you just could not hardly imagine, and even if they do them unto you, God said, if you can't forgive, you won't be forgiven. And, you know, we look at that and people will say, yeah, but you're not the one that had somebody do this. And whether it was somebody killed your child, killed your wife or your husband, I know a man years ago that had such hatred for a man that hit his boy on a motorcycle and killed him. And he had such hatred in his heart for that man. And I kept telling him, you're going to have to forgive him. And as far as I know, he went to his grave with still that hatred in his heart. But you know how that you can get to the place where you can forgive somebody. And when you see yourself just how wicked that you are, you and I today, we might think of ourselves, I'm a good person. I've never done anything that's all that bad. But if you'll just be honest with yourself, look back at your life, whatever stage it was, when you was in sin, when you did not know God as your Savior, look at your life the way that a righteous, holy God would look upon it. Your sin, you might say, it's not that bad. I may have told some little white lie. I may have had a drink down there. I may have used to use drugs. I may have used to curse or whatever. But I cleaned that up. I no longer live that way. Unless you got on your knees and repented before God, you still stand before God guilty of those things. Well, a righteous God does not forgive sin unless his first been washed away by the blood of his Son. You and I today, we might not want to feel that we need that sacrifice that was there on Calvary, shed for you and for me. But unless we see ourselves, Lord, unless we see that we need that redemption from our sin, we will die in our sin. And God said, where He is, you cannot come. And I realize we live in a day and a time when the human family wants to think of ourselves as being good. But the human family wants to think that the things that we do here in this life are just things upon this flesh, and it ain't going to hinder our soul when we stand before God. Do you realize, according to the Bible, what that speaks from the mouth, what that our eye wants to look upon, what our ears desires to hear, is the thing that's in our heart. And you and I today, if our mind and our heart is upon things that are wicked, it's because our heart is wicked. And you know, if the whole world was truly right with God, places like Las Vegas could be shut down. Places like all of these casinos, all of your big bars, your big nightclub. All of those things could be shut down. All of your drinking establishments, they could be closed. Why? Look around at the lives that those places destroy. The little children that pay such a price. But oh, mom and dad, they go there and waste all that they had. Destroy their lives. They're trying to get rid in an easy way. Rather than going out and working and saving their money to provide for their family. You and I today, what's in our heart? Just as we read to you here in this first part of the ninth verse, the heart is desperately wicked, desperately, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You and I today, if we'll be honest with God, our heart is something that is deceitful. Man don't want to believe it, but a lot of times we live, and in our heart deceiving, into thinking that that was wrong, we'll be alright. We lie for ourselves to go contrary to the word of the Lord and say it'll be alright. You and I today, when we stand before God, we're going to find out that that righteous judge was judging us by what we did, what we thought, and the intents of our heart. And you know, there used to be a sign up in the sheriff's station here in Lebanon, Missouri. The only reason some people are not dead is because it's against the law to kill them. And you and I, you know, there's all kinds of people that's the only thing that's kept them from killing somebody is because I don't want to go to prison. But it was in the heart. And when they stand before God, God would judge them because they would have wanted to kill that person rather than get out and pray for them and get to the place where they can forgive them of what was done. You and I, according to the Bible, vengeance is the Lord's. And He said He will repay. It's not for us to do it. I can understand something like what happened in Pennsylvania. I can understand a father being angry. And if the man had not took his life, being angry and wanting to see him punished. Being angry and wanting even if he got a hold of him to literally choke the life out of the man. I could understand that. Why? Because that was his treasure, that child. That was something that was precious unto him. But do you realize, though we might want to do that, God does not give us that right. God said, vengeance is His. Now, I agree. The law should try anybody that does such as that. If they don't take their life, the law should try them. They should be locked up. All that the law prescribes, that's what should be done to them. But you and I, within ourselves, does not have the right. But I'm so thankful. Though it may take long time to pray it, do you feel that you have truly forgiven from your heart? Do you truly feel that everything is all right between you and God? When we stand before God, we will see it was well worth the effort. Why to have peace on that day? You and I today, I've done this in my life. When I had something that disturbed me so bad, when somebody had done something that was so wrong, that you robbed anger inside of me. And you prayed and you finally got that peace over whatever it was to lay down on your bed at night and go to sleep knowing that it's all right between you and God. Knowing that you've truly forgiven that person. You say, well, why should I have to forgive them? Because God's word said, if you can't forgive, you won't be forgiven. You and I, there at Calvary, and Christ hung on the tree,
Say, Father, forgive them. You and I today, though it might not be that we're being crucified literally to a tree, but we still must come to that place where we can say from our heart, Father, forgive them. When we do that, all of our infirmities, we can find that God also will forgive us. And, you know, if we will confess our faults before God, we can be forgiven. But first, man has got to recognize that we're wicked. And you know, I realize today, if you took a poll across the United States, the majority of people will tell you that, take it as a whole, people have a good heart. But that's not true. We've deceived ourselves. Because you take it as a whole, looking upon it from the point of view as the Bible looks upon it, the biggest majority of people has a very wicked heart. It's a deceitful thing. They lie to themselves. You know, I heard this in a church when I was talking about the deceitfulness of doing business with people that called themselves Christians and they lied. I hired them to do some work for me because I met them in church and they were supposed to be Christian. And they told me when I specified what I wanted, they agreed to every bit of it. And I thought, Christian people, there was no sense in having everything wrote out and specified that a man was a man of his word. That's what I was taught. That's the way I was brought up. But I soon found out that they weren't. And they lied. When they got on the job, they were cursing. There was all kinds of things done there that was not Christian. When I mentioned it in a Sunday school class, I had people sitting there that were supposed to be Christians laugh. And they said, well, business is business and church is church. But the heart of a man is the same. No matter where he's at church or when he's on the job during the day doing business, if his heart is right with God, he's going to treat his fellow man the way he would want to be treated. Why? Because that's what God requires of you and I. God requires us to be truthful and honest in everything that we do. It's time to realize our nation, we've dropped the standard from what God said. You'll find in the Bible it said to search for the old man. We try to read best to burial so our children can't even find to walk in. We no longer want to walk of ourselves because they made us feel uncomfortable to realize I'm going to give an account of my sin so if I push it out of mind it'll be alright. But we don't want our children to find out about it because they might wonder we're not living according to that. So we try and change it. We try and get them to the point where they know nothing about it. But God said for all of this, you're going to be brought into judgment. And it's time to realize we're not going to escape. God truly knows what's in the heart of man. And He's going to judge us accordingly. If you go down into the 18th chapter of Jeremiah and the 15th verse, it said, because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient path, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. You and I today, that's exactly the path that America is choosing. We don't want to go the way that God has specified that we go. We don't want to go the way that our forefathers went. Do you realize that in our government today, they no longer want to be reminded of how that our forefathers read the Bible and listened to what God's Word said and wrote our laws according
to what they read in the Bible. Today, you and I, we might not want to live by, but we're going to be judged by. And when we stand before God, we need to know, beyond the shadow of any doubt, that our heart is right with God. And we can know that here today. We can find even the forgiveness. My heart goes out to those in Pennsylvania. And I pray that God would truly help those there that's been so wrong to truly find that forgiveness. Not just to say it, but it to truly come from the heart to forgive. Because if they don't, you and I will find that hatred does nothing but destroy us. It does nothing good for anybody. A lot of times we find people with such hatred, their lives they just live in a place of turmoil. You look at their face, they seem to be no peace, no comfort in anything. But that person, no matter what their face is, if their heart is right with God, they can lay down on their bed at night and go to sleep. That there's perfect peace there. Because if they die, yeah, in the morning, they'll face a God that they have been living in obedience to their life in trying to do that God asked. And if we do, when we stand there, we'll hear Him say, "Well done." While we get some song to sing, I beg you, don't let the things of this world rob you of what you can have with God. You know, people may say that times have changed. It's not necessary to live like that anymore. I realize you can listen to the news and they talk about the Christian right as if it's some dirty word. Well, there's a lot of people that might be classified in that group that whose heart is not truly right with God. But you and I, if our heart is right with God, being a Christian is the best life you can ever live. It's the best that you can ever express to anybody for joy and happiness. And each one of us, we can try and find happiness here in this world in anything that we want to. But we'll never find it till we turn our heart over to God. While we sing, if you could truly see, you know what the future holds for you. You'd see your great need for the Lord. There's all kinds of people today that think that they're going to live to be an old man or woman that will die in just such a short time. We don't know in this world in which we live. Why? Because you don't know that person that's driving down the street next to you. You don't know what's in their heart. Though you might be all right yourself, you might not do anything wrong. That person, just because that they hate somebody else, can decide to take your life for no reason. But if your heart's right with God, it makes no difference how we go out of this world. It just makes a difference how we live here. How our heart was before the death angel called for it. Will you come? Please, each and every one of you, pray that the Lord would wake people up in this country, that they might turn their minds and their hearts back unto Him. You know, I've seen a news clipping where they were showing this convoy in Baghdad. And this man that was in one of the trucks, he's telling them, "I'm taking fire." And the armored vehicles that was ahead of him just kept on going. And he ended up, he got stopped. He couldn't go for some reason. And a truck in front of him got turned over. And he was talking to them, and it was recording it, video and audio, and recording it. And he said, "They just killed him." But in his talk, they was such cursing. And in him cursing. He said, they're going to kill me. Come back and get me. In some way or another, he did get out. And I thought through that, when a man thought that he was going to die, his heart was so wicked, instead of him calling upon God and praying to try and repent and get right, he was still cursing. And you and I today, we might think that people's heart is not that bad. But when a man is facing death and he can't remember that he's going to give an account before God, when will a person ever wake up to just how fragile life is? Life is so uncertain and death is so sure. I beg each and every one to make sure that your heart is right with God.